The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 12th Canto, Chapter Number 11, Text Number 26. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on June 30th, 2011, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Iya
idam
kalye
uthaya
Mahapurusha Lakshanam Tat Chitta Prayata Japtva
Brahma
Veda
Guha
Shayam Ya Idam Karya Uthaya Mahapurusha Lakshanam Chattata Prayato Japtva
Brahma Veda
Guhashayam Ya Idam Kalya Uthaya
Mahapurusha Lakshanam
Chachchita prayato tapta Brahma Veda Guhashayam Ya Idam Kalya Uthaya Mahapurusha Lakshanam Chachchita prayato japtva Brahma Veda Guhashayam Iya,
anyone who
Idam
this
Kalye
at dawn
Uthaya
rising
Mahapurusha Lakshanam
The characteristics of the Supreme Personality of Godhead
in His universal form,
Tachchita,
with mind absorbed in Him,
Prayata,
purified,
Japtva,
chanting to oneself,
Brahma,
the Absolute Truth,
Veda,
He comes to know.
Guhashayam,
situated within the heart.
Translation
by the servants of Srila Prabhupada.
Anyone who rises early in the morning and with a purified mind fixed upon the Mahapurusha quietly chants this description of his characteristics will realize him as the Supreme Absolute Truth residing within the heart. I say and you repeat.
Anyone who rises early in the morning,
and with a purified mind,
fixed upon the Mahapurusha,
quietly chants this description
of his characteristics,
will realize him
as the Supreme Absolute Truth.
Residing within the heart.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatāparakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha
Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, this is a very nice reminder from Srimad Bhagavatam about rising early in the morning. This early morning rising is a very important principle. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 69, Yanishas sarvabhutanam tasyam jagarti samyami Tashamja grati bhutani sannasha pashuto mune. What is the time of awakening for all living beings is night for the introspective sage, and what is night for all living beings in this way. And the time of awakening for all living beings is night for the introspective sage. In other words, when the materialistic people, when they want to sleep, that is the time of awakening for the saintly persons, and vice versa. I remember one time I was running a little preaching center in Norman, Oklahoma, by the University of Oklahoma campus, and we always get up early. It's our standard procedure, getting up for Brahma Muhurta, Mangalarti, etc. That's something that every devotee does according to who's following strictly Prabhupada's instructions. Every devotee rises for Mangalarti at home or in the temple. So anyway, I would get up and have the Mangalarti there and chanting. I was chanting my japa in the yard, and in the back there was some neighbors there, and one of my neighbors who I knew, he happened to get up early that day. He saw me chanting. He said, "What are you doing up at such an ungodly hour?" That's a saying, and I don't know if they have it in Australia, but in America it's a saying, an ungodly hour. Can you imagine how much is completely reversed? You see. If you get up early, it's ungodly. You see. It's just the opposite thing. You see. So I said, "No, this is the godly hour. This is not the ungodly hour." So we really, you know, we're missing this culture. As I was explaining in Urban Yoga last night, you know, as old Ben Franklin used to say, "Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." Actually, even successful materialists, they don't like to sleep. You know, the highly successful, ultra-rich class of people who really, you know, like big CEOs and big inventors, you know, like Stephen Jobs, these kind of people, they get up early, you know. They don't like to sleep. Sleep's a waste of time. You just take as little as you can get by with and go. You have so much to do with your life, you see. So in Krishna consciousness, we don't want to sleep any more than is necessary. We have so much to do to awaken our own Krishna consciousness and to awaken the Krishna consciousness of the sleeping conditioned souls, as Lord Chaitanya used, as we had that song actually by Bhaktivinoda, jeev jago, gora chandra bole. Wake up, you sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch Maya, you see? So a devotee, someone who's actually Krishna conscious, he doesn't want to sleep. He doesn't want to sleep during the Brahma Muhurta hour. He wants to be awake, taking advantage. You see, the modes of nature are acting at different times of the day. In the early morning hours, that Brahma Muhurta, it's the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is very strong during Brahma Muhurta. And then, after the sunrise, then the mode of passion comes in, Rajagum, you see. It's the doing mode. Now it's time to go here, do this, do that, the doing mode, the mode of passion. Then there's the ignorance mode, tamagun, sleep mode, you see. Sattvagun is the meditative mode. And we need that meditation. Not that I get up when the sun rises, I grab my clicker and jump in the car and hit the freeway, you know, clicking on my clicker to chant my so-called japa, you see. No, you want meditation is a very... When you meditate, it has to be exclusive. What does Krishna say? Ananyas chintayanto mang yajanarpa yatasate. Tejsham nityabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. Those who worship me with exclusive devotion. So we have to show Krishna that we're exclusively dedicated to him. And the early morning is the time to do that. I have no other business except Krishna, you see. The early morning, it's just Krishna. There's no other purpose, you see. We have to show Krishna practically that we only want him, really. He's the only desire. Otherwise, what is it called? Karma Mishra Bhakti. Or Gana Mishra Bhakti, you see. You're mixing it. If you mix it, what are you? You're a mixed up devotee, you see. Don't be a mixed up devotee who's mixing karma or jnana with bhakti. Prabhupada wrote me a very nice letter. He said, he actually was telling me how to become an empowered preacher. He's giving me some nice tips from the Jagat Guru, you know, how to become an empowered preacher. He said, no karma, no jnana, no yoga, all desire, all material desire is zero. You see? So if we actually want to be able to do something for our spiritual master, some meaningful service, to really push forward this movement, you see, we have to kick out all this garbage. We really do. It doesn't matter, whatever ashram, whatever occupation you're in, it's okay. You can be a married man, you can be a businessman, you can be a Shudra, Prabhupada says. In any position, one can become Mahabhagavan. Any position. Mahabhagavat means you have nothing except for Krishna. You have no interest except Krishna. You see. Everything else, I don't need it. All I need is Krishna. What did Lord Chaitanya say? I know no one except for Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or leaves me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is my worshipful Lord unconditionally. Not that, well, you know, they didn't really treat me the way I wanted to be treated, so I'm leaving the temple. That's not surrender. Surrender means in any condition I go on serving Krishna. That is surrender. Not a business deal. Well, Krishna, if you'll give me that, then you give me this and I'll surrender. No. Unconditional surrender means now I belong to Krishna. Whatever Krishna tells me, whatever my spiritual master, who is Krishna's representative, tells me, that is my duty. That's all. Simple. Whatever my spiritual master says, you may say, well, don't you have to negotiate for your own agenda? No. You don't negotiate for your own agenda. That's not surrender. That's business. Even Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, he wanted to do what his father wanted. That's what Krishna wanted. Krishna says the same thing. You give up everything else except my... There's only one thing you have to do. There's only one duty for you, only one dharma, and that's to surrender to me. All other dharmas, forget it. Forget it. Prityaja, abandon all other dharmas. You have only one duty, and that's to surrender to me. So if we can wake up every morning and embrace this mood of complete surrender to Krishna by our prayers, by our attitude, by the way we utter our mantras, by the way we offer our obeisances, by the way we take darshan of the deities, if we can consciously cultivate this consciousness on a regular daily basis, you see, before we begin our daily activities, whether we're, you know, going to a job or going to school or whatever, cleaning the house, whatever it may be, we need to have this quality time of meditation in the morning. Because that sets our consciousness for the whole day. Whatever you set your mind in, those early morning hours, that's going to set your consciousness for the whole day. So if you can get up and put Krishna right there, solidly in the center of your consciousness, at the very big start of the day, that momentum will then carry you throughout the whole day. So it's a very, very essential program for cultivating Krishna consciousness. Whether you're living at home, whether you're living in the temple, it's the same principle. The early morning time is meditation time. Worship, meditation, study in this way. This Hare Krishna Japa Mantra, this Hare Krishna meditation, it is the topmost meditation. You'll find no better meditation than this Hare Krishna Japa. It's the ultimate meditation. It surpasses any type of other meditational system, Ashtanga Yoga, Jnana Yoga, any other type of meditational yoga system. This surpasses it. This is by it stated in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Iva Kevalam, Kalodna Stevana Stevana Steva Gatiranyata. Chant the holy names. There's no other alternative. Not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga. There's no other alternative. There is no other alternative. There is no other alternative. Prabhupada said, that's why it said three times. To negate karma, jnana, and yoga. You see? There's no other alternative in this age. Difficulty as our minds go dancing here and there. You see? We have monkey minds. It's like those monkeys in Vrindavan, you see. They're always jumping from here, jumping there. You have to look out for your glasses. On our Parikrama party, one of our members, the monkey, came and stole the glasses right off his face. And they had to negotiate with some bribe to get the glasses back. You see? So, our minds are like monkeys. They go jumping here and jumping there. We're not very good at fixing our minds, that's the fact. Our minds are very fickle. Dancing here, dancing there. So we have to learn how to conquer the mind. For the yogi, it is a mechanical process. You've got to grab that thing and fix it right there, you see. That's for the yogi. But for devotee, we have a much better system. For the yogi, you've got to grab it back and keep, come on here, you rascal, here, fix on this. Hare Krishna, Hare. That's the yogi approach. But for devotee, it's much more ecstatic approach. This approach is described by Srila Rupa Goswami. Tunde tundavani riting vitinate tundavali lamdiye karna krodha gadamani gatiya ke kunarvade braspiham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kriyamri amitaya krishneti varnadvai. See, this is the approach of the bhakta for controlling the mind. He simply remembers and appreciates the great mercy of Krishna. The translation goes like this. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. Because when I utter these syllables Krishna, they dance in my mouth. It is Krishna himself dancing in my mouth. And there's so much nectar oozing out from those sound vibrations that my one little mouth is not enough to capture it all. I need to have millions of mouths to capture the nectar. And then when those two syllables enter the holes of my ears, Krishna, there's so much nectar of oceans, unlimited oceans of nectar. I have to have billions and trillions of ears to capture that nectar. And then when that supreme person, that Nama Prabhu, is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered. Totally conquered. And I'm stunned in a state of transcendental paralyzement. So the bhakta, for the yogi, you have to grab that thing and bring it back. For the bhakta, it's falling in love. You see? He falls in love with Krishna. Krishna Nam becomes the sweetest, most beautiful, relishable object of reciprocation. It's not that it's just some impersonal vibration. It's a person. Not it. We shouldn't say it. He is a person. Hare Krishna mantra is a person. Krishna himself has appeared as the Hare Krishna mantra. So that person, Krishna, he will reciprocate with you. Nama Prabhu is right there on the tip of your tongue, and he'll reciprocate. If you give your love to Nama Prabhu, he will shower his mercy. And the more you give your love to him, the more he will shower the mercy. So in this way, it surpasses the meditational techniques of the yogis to mechanically fix the mind. It's a matter of coming to a loving personal relationship. It's like you have a very close friend. And you love this. You could spend hours sitting with your friend, talking with your friend, sharing so many things, experiences, realizations with your friend. So Krishna, who is a better friend than Krishna? Suhridam sarabhutanam. Krishna is the best friend of all living entities. So all we have to do is to re-establish that loving relationship with Krishna. So how is that done? Ye me bhakta jana aparata, na me bhakta shtate janaha, mad bhakchananche ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Krishna says, if you're my devotee, na me bhaktas, you're not my devotee. But if you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my devotee. You see? So therefore you require a guru. You require Vaishnavas. You must become devotee of guru and devotee of Vaishnavas. Well, guru I can understand, but I don't know about those devotees. Well, wait a minute. What does Narottam Das say? He says, Ananda Bala, Ananda Haribo, see, Anande Hari, Anande Bolo Hari, Bhaja Vrindavan, Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayama. Ecstatically worship the holy name, Ananda, Anande Hari Bolo, huh? Bhaja Vrindavan, and worship the holy Vrindavan Dham. And you must always meditate on the lotus feet, worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So how much are you a devotee of your spiritual master? Willing to do whatever he says. Willing to go out of your way to see that he has all facility for his personal comfort and for his preaching. Are you totally dedicated, doing whatever is required without even being asked to come forward spontaneously? How you can serve your spiritual master? And how much are you dedicated to serving all the Vaishnavas to see that they're always happy and inspired in their Krishna consciousness by your example? You see? We're not supposed to take from the devotees, you know, for our personal sense gratification. We're supposed to give to the devotees. Krishna consciousness means to give to the devotees. But by your activities, you inspire them more and more in their Krishna consciousness. You see, that's what it means to be a devotee. Not that you have something you want for yourself out of the devotees. That is not a devotee. That's karmi disguising as a devotee. But a real devotee, he simply wants to serve all the Vaishnavas, and always inspiring and enthusing them in their Krishna consciousness. That is actual devotee. So we have to, in this way, we have to learn how to become devotees of the devotees. And then, and only then, can we actually approach Krishna. So if you want to have a good relationship with the holy name, you must have a good relationship with the devotees. We just had a whole seminar, 2 days seminar in Sydney, the North Sydney Temple, on loving relationships. 2 days we talked about this, loving relationships. Because unless you have loving relationship with devotees, unless you have loving relationship with your spiritual master, you can't have a loving relationship with Krishna. It's not possible. You cannot be Krishna conscious unless you have a loving relationship with devotees and a loving relationship with Guru. You cannot have Krishna consciousness. You may have, but it will be Kanishta Adhikari. I remember we, in our Houston temple, many years ago, there was one gentleman. He would come for the darshan every Monday morning. He would come on his way to open his shop. He was running a jewelry store in a very high-class shopping mall, where the rich go. And he would come every Monday. He wouldn't come for any of the kirtans or the classes. He would come after everybody had cleared out of the temple room. It was just him and the deities. On every Monday morning before he opened his business for the week, you see. So he was just coming to get blessings for money, that's it. Of course, it's better to do that than not to approach some demigod or to not approach anyone. It's better to do that. To approach Krishna for money or for whatever you want. It's better to do that than to not approach Krishna at all. But better still, that won't liberate you. You stay in this material world. If you really want liberation, then you have to approach Krishna and surrender to him. I want to become your devotee. I want my every thought, word, and deed in all times and places should be for your pleasure, my beloved Lord. Please help me to give up my greed. Please help me to give up my lust. Please help me to give up my anger, my madness, illusion, my envy. Please, my Lord, please help me. This is how the great acharyas are always praying. They're not thinking, well, I'm an advanced devotee. Now I will benedict the world. No, they're not thinking that way. Just see that beautiful song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kabe Habe Bolo Seidi Nama. How humbly he's praying. When will I give up my offenses? When my offenses ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habe bolo se din amar. When will that day be mine? He's thinking now, I'm so full of nama parad. You see? I'm not feeling that connection with you, my Lord. I don't feel connected because I'm committing so many nama parads. I don't feel connected. Oh, when will I awaken and come out of this stupor of sense gratification and actually become free from these offenses? He's intensely praying like that, you see, for our benefit. But actually, in his humility, the Mahabhagavats, they feel like this. Even though they're completely pure, they feel themselves very, very fallen. They feel the most fallen. They're not just doing it for us, but they actually feel that way about themselves, the Mahabhagavat. Prabhupada explained like that. The Mahabhagavat feels himself to be the lowest demon. He actually feels himself to be the lowest demon. So we can study the prayers of great Mahabhagavats, and we can, that mood that they express is so pure, it's so perfect. If we can take up this mood, you see, then we'll come off the Kanishta platform. We'll come to the Majjhima platform. And then we can go from the Majjhima platform, and someday we can come to the Uttama platform also. We simply have to see how these great acharyas are guiding us. So perfectly they are guiding us. And then another verse, Bhaktivinoda says, When will Lord Nityananda have mercy upon me? When will I reject the world of Maya? Of course, Lord Nityananda is always bestowing mercy. But Bhaktivinoda is intensely hankering, I must have that mercy. I must have that mercy. He's feeling that somehow I'm cut off from that mercy. So how can I get that mercy, you see? And then he's saying, when will I reject the world of Maya? Bhaktivinoda is thinking, I'm in Maya. I'm attached to sense gratification. When will I give up this stupor, this insanity that I'm so deeply entangled in, and actually give up my attachment for this material world? He's feeling that way, you see. When will that day be mine? Will I reject the world of Maya? So just see how these great acharyas are praying, how they're guiding us. If we take up this mood that they have given us in their wonderful writings, like the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we will study their moods and try to embrace these moods in our own heart, we'll become Krishna conscious. And isn't that what we're here for, to become Krishna conscious? Is this the International Society for Corporate Consciousness? ISKCON Corp? Or is this the International Society for Krishna Consciousness? Are we interested in being in managing, expert management, as our first business. We want to be very good managers, Prabhu, manage everything very expertly, Prabhu. Management is there. Prabhupada wanted us to expertly manage, but management is secondary. We have to always remember it is secondary. Prabhupada told us, he said that management follows preaching like a shadow. So the first point is we should be first-class preachers, you see. First-class preachers. We should have full faith in Krishna. We should have full faith in Guru. And then we will have very first-class realization of the Vedic truths. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata vede tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashyante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Sri Guru and the words of Sri Krishna are the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. So our first business is to have unflinching faith in the words of our spiritual master and in the words of Krishna. That is our first business. If you don't have that, you're nowhere. You won't understand anything about the Siddhanta, the Vaishnava Siddhanta. You have to have unflinching faith in Guru and unflinching faith in Krishna. And then you can actually preach. When you have that unflinching faith and you're not giving your own opinion anymore, you're just repeating what you've heard from the great acharyas. You see, our position is we're just messengers. That's all. We're messengers. We don't think we're great, realized persons. We just feel we're humble messengers. That's all. Our duty is simply to take whatever has been given by the previous acharyas and present it purely without any addition or any subtraction. That is how the full potency comes through. As soon as you want to mix in your own 2 cents worth, you're spoiling the whole thing. Don't do that. You simply present the pure message coming down from the previous acharyas, you see. What is that Vedic injunction? Mahajano yena gatasya panta. You must follow the path of the previous acharya. You see? You must. That acharya mark, that is the pathway out of this material existence. That is the pathway that will take us back to the transcendental kingdom, the Paravyoma. You see, that acharya mark, Mahajana mark. If we will stick to this pathway of the great acharyas, then our lives will become illuminated. We'll realize our eternal nature. We'll get beyond the temporary, suffering, aging corpse, which now we so foolishly misidentify ourselves with. See? We simply have to have that great, unflinching faith in Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. And then we'll be able to give the message with power, with potency. Ourselves, sometimes they criticize, but you Hare Krishna people, you're teaching people to have low self-esteem, you know, lower than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. You Hare Krishna philosophy, you're teaching low self-esteem. That's not true. We're not teaching low self-esteem. We're teaching no self-esteem. Not no low, it's no self-esteem. But the highest esteem for what we represent, you understand? We don't teach low self-esteem, no self-esteem, zero self-esteem, but unlimited esteem for what we represent. For the tradition that we represent, we have unlimited esteem, you see. Therefore, Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. Is Prabhupada thinking, I'm great, I'm the great Prabhupada? No way. I'm simply an insignificant beggar. That's how Prabhupada felt about himself. But preaching on behalf of his Guru Maharaj and the previous acharyas, Prabhupada was like a lion, a roaring lion. You see. So as for ourselves, we have zero self-esteem. For what we represent, we have unlimited esteem. You see. Hanuman personally had no pride, but on behalf of Ram, he could burn the whole city of Lanka down. So, We have no self. We have zero self-esteem. We know we're just fallen rascals. That's all. That we feel we're simply fallen rascals. But our duty is to make a revolution on this planet. And for that, we have unlimited enthusiasm, unlimited determination, and unlimited patience also. It's going to take a lot of patience to make the whole world Krishna conscious. It may take many generations, but we're going to do whatever we can now to push it forward as far as we can until our last dying breath. This is called determination. We should be very determined to make the world Krishna conscious. Why? Because Prabhupada ordered us. You know the order he gave his disciples in Los Angeles? He said, now you become guru and deliver the whole world. That was Prabhupada's order. So is the order of the spiritual master an option or is it a requirement? Well, you can accept it or reject it. Well, I think it's too heavy an order. I couldn't even think about delivering the whole world. You see? Is it something you accept or reject? Now, Prabhupada's first reaction was to reject it. You know that? Prabhupada's initial reaction was to reject the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, you should spread this to the English-speaking world. Prabhupada wanted to reject that order. This is not possible. We're a dependent nation. This is not possible. To make the English-speaking world Krishna conscious, this order is not practical. I reject your order. That was his first reaction, but he got smashed by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he accepted his defeat. And he was so happy. Now I have found my spiritual master. Now I have found my spiritual master. He was always thinking, oh, I have met such a great saintly person. He was constantly meditating. From that moment forward, his whole life, he was constantly meditating on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So you know, you think, what is this ridiculous thing to make the whole world Krishna conscious? That's not possible. That's the same initial reaction that Prabhupada had when Bhaktisiddhanta gave him his order. So we should learn from Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't know how he could possibly carry out that order, but he said, but he accepted it. I must do it. I have no idea how in the world I could ever carry out this order, but still I accept it as my life and soul. I'm going to meditate on it. I'm going to worship this order. I don't know how I can possibly ever do it, but I'm going to never give up my determination to try to do it. And just see what happened. It took many, many years. It took decades. He received the order in 1922. And just see how long it took before something really started to happen. 44 years later. That's 44 years later, you see. For those 44 years, he kept the flame burning in his heart. He never let anything extinguish that flame. Whether it was nothing. Problems with his wife, didn't let it destroy that enthusiasm. Problems with his business, didn't let that steal his enthusiasm. Problem with his health, he didn't let that interrupt. Problem with his godbrothers, he didn't let anything interrupt that determination to carry out the order he'd received from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So that's if we really want to, are we Prabhupada's followers, or are we just doing our own thing here? Is this Prabhupada's ashram, or is this a hippie path, you see? Are we following Prabhupada here? Then if we are, then we have to understand what it means to Srila Prabhupada. You see? We have to understand what it means. It means to take those orders that Prabhupada has given us and accept them as our life and soul. They may seem possible, they may seem impossible, it doesn't matter. We embrace the orders that Prabhupada has given us as our life and soul. We meditate on them, we worship them. This is called Krishna consciousness. You see? So in this way, our lives become glorious. Become glorious. Vishnu Dhammaraj told us in New York that Prabhupada said that you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious? You see, if the disciples become glorious, that's the best glorification of the spiritual master. What is that saying? You can judge a tree by its fruit. So if you become an empowered Vaishnava, you become a great devotee by your activities. And that's the best glorification of your spiritual master. So you want to glorify your Guru Maharaj? You can offer Guru Puja, that's very nice. But now the best Guru Puja is you become a pure devotee. That's the best Guru Puja. You become a pure devotee. And then they will see, oh, this Guru, he has such advanced disciples. You see? So spiritually advanced disciples. That is the best Guru Puja. To become a pure devotee is the ultimate Guru Puja. So anyway, I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes, Prabhu?
I just had a comment following on from the humility of the Acharyas. Near the end of his life, Prabhupada described himself as Mahapatita.
What was his comment?
He's commenting, he's not asking questions.
What was the comment? Yes, devotee means he is friend of the fallen. Devotee means he is merciful. If someone is not merciful, and that if they're a devotee and they're not merciful, they're called Kanishta Adhikari. We have to become, I mean, materialistic devotee. So we have to at least come to that Majjhim platform of being merciful to others. If we actually manifest that mentality of mercy, we'll never fall down. Prabhupada explains that in nectar devotion, the second-class devotee and the first-class devotee, neither of them, they don't fall down. There's no fall down for a Majjhimadhikari or an Uttamadhikari. Someone who develops this mood of being kind and merciful to all others, he will never fall down from Krishna consciousness. It's a very important principle, patita pavana, to become merciful and kind, you see, to others. That's how you become solid and strong and you'll never fall down. I remember I got one time a letter from Prabhupada and...
He didn't say that.
Huh?
He didn't say that.
Tell me again?
He said something else.
He didn't say Patita Pavana?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a good mistake.
Yeah. I was commenting on the humility of the previous Acharyas. Prabhupada described near the end of his life, he described himself as Mahapatita.
Greatly fallen. Yes. That is the position. The Mahapatita. The Bodhi feels I'm most fallen. That's right. Even there, you can see in Prabhupada's prayers to his spiritual master, the Dura Duri, all the happy day. In this very beautiful poem, Prabhupada says, "Save me of fallen, your divine grace." The devotee always feels, "I am patita, I am greatly fallen, Mahapatita." This is a very nice poem. The devotee always feels, "I am very, very fallen soul. Please save me. Please save me, my spiritual master. Please save me, Lord Nityananda. Please save me, Lord Chaitanya. Please save me, Radha and Krishna. I am so fallen, horribly fallen. Please save me." Any questions? Okay. We'll stop here. We thank you very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Make your lives perfect and make the whole world perfect. That is our agenda that Prabhupada has given us. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.